This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
All right, we want to thank Mac and Gatos for taking us to this point, leading us up after the Obama address to the nation. I honestly thought he was going to be addressing us from the Oval Office. I think maybe that was strategery a little bit.
Well, I think standing is like, kind of a strong posture.
Okay, standing is a strong posture, but you go historically, when we talk about we've gone to war, we're launching a strike, we're this, it's Oval Office.
Oval Office
starts with my fellow Americans, right?
The majesty of the presidency is sort of enhanced by the Oval Office, but standing is a little more of an assertive posture.
All right. So. Well, as posture aside, let's talk about the speech itself. This was shorter than I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to run about 40 to 42 minutes on this one. I think he got in, got out. What did you take away from it, Doc?
I think most of the speech got ripped up in the last 24 hours when there developed an alternative to striking now. And so what we saw, and I tell you, I found this fascinating from just a rhetorical perspective, looking at what he did, to walk you through. And in case you didn't hear it, or even if you did, let me walk you through what he starts out talking about poison gas. That is a crime against humanity. That's a bad thing. Then we go to danger to our security. This will embolden terrorists. It will threaten our allies. Even embolden Iran's use or development of nukes. Then he moves on. The next point is, I have the authority to act, but I, as a Democrat who believes, small d Democrat, who believes in the democratic process, I believe that this should be any action of a military nature should be authorized by Congress.
Wait, define small d Democrat, because that wasn't part of his speech. Okay, I want to know what you mean by small d Democrat.
By small d Democrat, I mean somebody who believes in democracy as opposed to somebody, a member of the Democratic Party.
Okay.
So he's saying, I believe in democracy and the ultimate repository for democratic decisions on matters of war and peace in our Constitution is that only Congress shall declare war, even though he's not asking for a declaration of war.
He said, I can do it,
I'm in a democracy, and the British model is there. I can do it, but, and this is also politically clever in that it is currently, unless he's moved the needle, and we'll talk more about that later,
correct,
but unless he's moved the needle, he's facing right now an American public that is more than skeptical about this. It's about 2-1.
What he did was hand Congress a bomb, said, here, hold this.
Yeah, here.
Right.
You can endorse this or not, but you
right.
Need
it's
going to
blow up in either way.
He then went and he went through a series of things, which is a very, very important, useful rhetorical device. He acknowledged a whole lot of arguments against action, and he dealt with one.
He framed those in letters, right? Letters to me. That's how he framed that.
That's how he used to do
okay,
it.
Right.
But he said, some people have said, for example, I acknowledge we have immense domestic priorities, because people are saying that. And then for each one of these, he dealt with, you can argue about how well he dealt with it, but he dealt with that. And then he announced, he said, basically, our objective is to deter the Syrians and to degrade their capabilities.
Okay.
He said that Syria is not a country that has retaliatory capabilities against us. In other words, I'm not putting the American homeland at any greater threat by taking action. Then he acknowledged again another argument that people have made, hey, why do we have to be the world's policeman? He acknowledged that, and he said, well, as a result of that, we ought to seek alternatives to military action.
Okay.
He then moved, and he described at the recent G20, he said, I had constructive talks with Putin. And he then moved, and this is where we got to the part that I think has changed in the last 24 hours, because that Putin proposal has gotten enough movement that he said, I urge Congress to postpone a vote. Smart move, because he's probably going to lose the vote anyway. And I want Russia and China to get together at the UN and get UN action. Now, if diplomacy fails, I want the authority to act, but I'm going to play out all of these diplomatic option. He then, and this was his sort of the last rhetorical point, he appealed separately to both the left and the right. To the left, he said, I understand that you have a strong aversion to taking military action. I want you to know that I only proposed this because the situation is extreme. To the right, he basically said, let me see if I recall with that. He made a parallel argument to the right, and it's escaping me at the moment. He said that, oh God, help me here.
About the right.
Yeah, he's now appealing to, saying to, to the right. And he said, normally you favor military action. And what I urge you to say, that's still out there, but we ought to exhaust diplomatic, alternatives first. So that is a quick run through of the entire speech. We could talk about any one of these at length, but from a rhetorical perspective, he kind of anticipated a wide range of objections to what he was saying, and he at least attempted to deal with
it. But is that our commander-in-chief? Is that his job? A sales pitch? Because let's not, if you say he covered all angles, what he just did was give us a sales pitch with no clear-cut directive of what we're going to do, how we can do it. If you say no, this is what we're going to do. If you say yes, this is what we're going to do. Absolutely zero clear direction.
The clear direction is we're going to pursue the avenue for diplomatic solution. If that doesn't work, I'm going to execute. I want to.
He wasn't talking about diplomacy at all before Russia stepped in. Am I wrong in saying that? I will act unilaterally. He was encouraging nations to move without the UN last Friday.
Of course. Did Russia do this on their own, or was this cooked up between Obama and Putin at the G20? Who knows?
Putin hates him like we hate cancer.
Yeah, but what we can trust Putin to do, however, is act in Russia's interest. And there are reasons why I think Russia may have an interest in not having us not bomb Syria, which is their client state.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment. We wanted to recap what the speech was. When we come back, we'll talk about the politics, both sides. We'll talk about the conservative politics of this, the liberal politics of this, because trust me, it was chock full of both. We'll get back to it in just a moment. Thanks for being with us. This is KTR's continuing coverage of the President's Address to the Nation. This is a special edition of The Think Tank on Newstalk 92.3 KTR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
After careful deliberation, I determined that it is in the national security interests of the United States to respond to the Assad regime's use of chemical weapons through a targeted military strike.
That was tonight. That was just moments ago. The President of the United States, Barack Obama, addressing the nation. And still, I would say, Dr. O'Neill, doubling down on his desire for what he would call a targeted strike. I hope every strike is targeted, but a strike on Syria. I didn't hear anything different tonight than I thought I would hear on Friday.
Not in that respect.
Okay. So let's look at this politically.
This is absolutely fascinating because this has broken down the usual divisions. I think there are a lot of people in both parties who are experiencing cross-cutting pressures. Let's look at the Republicans, first of all. There are a lot of Republicans in Congress who viscerally despise Barack Obama, and they instinctively want to be against anything that he's for. But a lot of those people are also the very same people who are pro a more military, assertive kind of foreign policy.
Led by our senior senator, John McCain.
John
McCain, am I wrong?
Lindsey Graham are the prototypical.
I would say, even above Lindsey Graham, I think I would say that John McCain is the, I have not met a country I don't want to invade. Am I wrong in saying that?
Absolutely right. Okay. He's the bomb Iran, sure. Whatever that was in jest. But it was not an erroneous characterization. Now, so those two pressures push. If Obama wants to do something, they instinctively say no. But all of a sudden, Obama is proposing a more assertive military reaction, which is usually the side that those guys are on. Now, yeah. You have a different element in the Republican Party. It's a much smaller piece, but it's the Ron Paul crowd that is sort of a neo-isolationist, and they don't want this involvement. So you do have that
libertarian
element.
Hang a sign on the Statue of Liberty, do not disturb, we have
leave
our own problems,
leave us alone. Yeah. Right. And right, this is harkens back to the kind of Taft Republic. We haven't seen this in the Republican Party since the late 1940s. So that's what's going on in the Republican Party. On the Democratic side, you have a party that is instinctively less prone since Richard Nixon. They are less prone to engage in military action. It's the ghost of Vietnam and every other war since then. But on the other hand, this group is also doesn't want to weaken the president and is instinctively inclined to support him.
And so that's where we go with the politics involved, not the core beliefs. It's a DRNR.
Well, that's a really good point. In both cases, I think you have the politics pushing them one way and their core beliefs pushing them another.
And
that applies
so.
To both parties.
We see like Alan Grayson from Florida, who is decidedly, he's left of the Democrat Party,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then we have Rand Paul, both of them skipping down the hallways, holding hands, singing a song against military
action. Now, Rand Paul is one of the few guys who probably doesn't feel the conflict in that
he stands on principle.
He is, and his principles are not pro-interventionist. It's sort of seal us up at the border libertarian. He's one of the few people in Congress, and I think that number is probably 5% of all Congress who doesn't feel that cross pressure. The rest of them, intriguingly. So what you see is both the Democratic and the Republican Party split in ways, and you see what look like really, really interesting bedfellows who normally are not on the same side of anything.
Right. And, you know, I want to look at that politically. Tonight, did President Obama hurt his base? Did he help his base? Did he play the middle? Is he playing safe ball right now? Or is he taking a hard line, a principled stance as a leader? Or is he playing to the D's of the R's?
I don't see a conflict between those two things in this speech. I think he absolutely believes what he's done. But in order to effect that, he had to move some people. He's facing a public that is in about 2-1 ballpark against him going into the speech.
That's generous.
I think he gained some ground. Not to the point of, I'd be surprised to see a poll come out and say a majority now supports intervention. I don't think it was that good, but I think that somebody who listened to that speech, I think it was methodical, it was reasoned, it appealed on a lot of levels, but the barrier that he had to overcome was so huge that I still think he's short of a majority with him on this.
He asked his left to reconcile their belief in freedom.
To my friends on the left, I ask you to reconcile your belief in freedom and dignity for all people with those images of children writhing in pain and going still on a cold hospital floor.
Right there.
Bingo.
He said, wait a second. Hey, I know you're against war, but look at the babies.
Absolutely.
Look at the babies. Look at the puppies. The puppies are dying. The kitties are dying in the street. Understand. You bleeding heart liberals on the left, I need you to understand people are dying. We need to go to war,
bleeding
right?
Heart liberals, here's a reason why we have to engage in military action, because this offense is so outrageous it offends the senses.
Two, and I'm using Obama terms, to the wackos on the right.
To my friends on the right, I ask you to reconcile your commitment to America's military might with a failure to act when a cause is so plainly just.
Playing dead center, by the way. I'm not, this to me, as the layman guy on the street, playing dead center.
Rhetorically, it's very powerful. I am the guy. I'm the reasonable guy in the middle. There's the crazies on the right. Okay, I want to appeal to you. There's the loonies on the left. I want to appeal to you, too. Almost any argument, if you want to win it, you want to position your own role as dead center. We got people at one extreme or another, and I'm adopting the moderate, sensible position.
And we know, though, after 5 years of having President Obama at the helm, we know he's not a centrist. Why tonight, out of nowhere, he's going to play dead center?
Well,
is he that painted into a corner that he has to play the middle?
I'd reject the premise. I think he is a pretty centrist guy.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I fundamentally disagree with you on that.
We can disagree on that one.
I don't know how you can be a centrist. I don't know how Barack Obama can be a centrist. He's blamed the Republicans for every single thing for 5 years. He's done nothing but blame the right. He hasn't blamed the left on anything. I don't know how you play the middle when you're only blaming one side.
Well, I mean, we have two parties, and that's an inevitable, each side is going to blame the other.
Did he paint any one side into a corner tonight?
He tried to paint both sides.
Right, okay, so did he succeed at one or the other?
Like I said, I think he gained some ground. I think he scored some points. I think, however, the public starts out so skeptical. The other thing I think that he probably now has majority support on is the public that, yes, they look at the outrage of what was done with the chemical weapons and they don't like that. They're skeptical about military action because every recent military action we've taken seems to have ended up in a quagmire. And at the end, he presented a way out, which is, well, we have this diplomatic course, and if we take this through to the end, maybe we can resolve this without military action. And that's one, I think, where he gets clear majority support.
For the last 10 days, he's been screaming. He isn't talking about diplomacy at all. He was talking about we need to punish, punitive measures, controlled, targeted strikes. He hasn't talked about diplomacy at all.
And the public
today,
was not convinced.
Today, he wants to talk diplomacy.
Yep.
So he completely changed tack in one day. What was the one deciding factor that made him change tack?
I don't think we know how this happened. We can speculate it. But
okay.
There developed, I think, a viable diplomatic alternative that was not apparent until very, very recently.
He talked about his people, too. He talked about us, the U.S. citizens.
Finally, many of you have asked, why not leave this to other countries or seek solutions short of force? As several people wrote to me, we should not be the world's policemen. I agree. And I have a deeply held preference for peaceful solutions.
The last 10 days, I have not heard one peaceful solution come out of this man's mouth. But he's talking about letters being written to him, and now I agree. Tonight he played the middle, and he played it poorly, I would say. Out of the gates, he played the middle. He couldn't have done this any worse.
Really? Really?
Because of the fact.
You don't think he's
led up war, yeah. And then tonight, hey, I've been getting letters. I want a peaceful solution. You know me. I want a peaceful solution. Those clowns on the right, they want to go bomb everybody. Those loonies on the left, they want me to walk away with my tail between my legs. Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't add up. I agree kind of with your characterization of what he did. I just think that's fairly effective.
As a politician.
As somebody who's trying to garner public support for a course of action.
He told the world. And he told the nation, I don't need your support. I can act unilaterally. He told the nation, he told the world, you don't need the UN support. You can act on your own. And now tonight, whole different tune. Seems interesting to me. When we come back, I want to talk about the international support. I want to talk, did he win over the globe? And those that could actually fight for his cause, not the ones that are going to sit on the sidelines and cheer like little cheerleaders. We'll come back. This is a special edition on the Think Tank right here on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Here we are, live local. This is a special edition of the Think Tank following President Barack Obama's address to the nation. His plea, if you will. For support, I don't know if now he's on the side of bombing Syria or not, but either way, he wants some support and might appreciate your vote for the DNC in the 2014 elections.
Well, he wants some support, but what we saw in the last 24 hours was a shift in the final ask. The first 80% of the speech was basically the case for bombing Syria, and then there's a kicker at the end, but there may be a way out, and we are going to pursue a diplomatic option that has arisen.
And when he talks about diplomatic options, of course he's talking about Russia. Yes, 24 hours ago, he was singing an entirely different tune. Russia, Let's be honest. Vladimir Putin does not, he does not like Barack Obama. The fact that he got to take Barack Obama's knees out right when he was pushing for war and came out internationally looking like the harbinger of peace.
You know what? I don't think it really matters whether he likes him or not. As De Gaulle said.
Oh, I thought you were about to say George Takei. We don't quote Star Trek here.
De Gaulle. As De Gaulle said, countries don't have friends, they have interest. And I think that's the interesting thing to look at here. The question is, what is the interest of Russia? Russia has a client state in Syria.
Yes.
And they are tied at the waist to Assad.
Mm-hmm.
If we're about to attack Assad and debilitate some of his capabilities, the Russians may have an interest in preventing that. They may also have an interest in seeing some of these chemical weapons disposed of, because there are a lot of stands in the old Soviet Union that have where some of that stuff might end it. And I think they may be the happiest people on earth to see that stuff destroyed, because it could end up on their soil more likely than ours.
It's speculating, of course, but yep. How many of these chemical weapons have Russian writing on the side of them?
I don't honestly know, I don't know the answer. But where they came from is a different, you know, if 20 years ago they ended up, we're living in a different world now, and the Soviet Union is no more, and there are some of the Muslim countries and Muslim sections of Russia, which, I mean, look at Chechnya. To take case number one, they have internal security issues. So we may have a situation where there is a confluence of interests sufficient that, again, the only thing I trust Putin to do is to act in Russia's self-interest, but there may be a confluence of self-interest that would make possible a deal at this point.
This initiative has the potential to remove the threat of chemical weapons without the use of force, particularly because Russia is one of Assad's strongest allies.
Uh-huh.
I have therefore asked the leaders of Congress to postpone a vote to authorize the use of force while we pursue this diplomatic path.
Now, let me ask you this. I want to understand this. From the guys watching on the sideline, from the guys that just showed up to work, did their 9-to-5, mm-hmm. and went home tonight to have dinner with their families, I want to ask on behalf of those people that heard President Obama over the last week say this is a punitive measure, we need to punish Bashar al-Assad for what he has done. We need to punish him and make sure that he feels this sting, essentially. But Russia said, we're going to go ahead and take it. He's going to hand over his chemical weapons. Now it's not a punitive measure anymore. What was Barack Obama saying?
Well, it's not. Well,
it sounds,
punitive
it sounds
or
on
not.
Two different
if
sides,
we,
right?
I guess if we have the option to remove chemical weapons from Syria,
yeah.
without firing a shot, that's a pretty attractive option.
But how do you punish?
Well,
that was the sales pitch.
You can argue.
I'm talking about the guys going to dinner with their kids tonight. I'm talking about that heard President Obama, not us mm-hmm. that live in the news. I'm talking about the ones here in Phoenix, Arizona that heard President Obama say, we need to have military action to punish a man for using chemical weapons, not to take away all his chemical weapons.
We could get into whether that's, but if we take away an entire range of weapons that a country has, they are degraded in their capabilities, at least. Is that punishment? You know, heck, the real punishment, frankly, that if we're interested in inflicting is the one that we don't seem to be able to do, which is against Assad personally.
I've spoken to the leaders of two of our closest allies, France and the United Kingdom.
France.
And we will work together in consultation with Russia and China to put forward a resolution at the UN Security Council requiring Assad to give up his chemical weapons and to ultimately destroy them under international control.
3 days ago, President Obama speaking to the world, the UN Security Council, which he just mentioned, he said the paralysis with the UN Security Council, nations must be prepared to act without their approval. Tonight, here we're going to go. I'm going to work with France, by the way. France already waved the white flag. They already surrendered. We haven't even started anything yet. France already surrendered.
they're an easy target.
Oh, yes, they are. He's talking about France and China and UK. hey, let's get with that.
I guess that security paralysis cancer just got unfrozen, didn't
seriously.
It?
Seriously. And that's, once again, Doc, I want to
tell you. In 2 weeks.
From the dinner table tonight here in Phoenix, Arizona, that to me is the biggest question. Where did this 180 come from? 36 hours ago, he's talking about, we're going to go without the UN.
Now let's work with the
UN.
It came from a Putin proposal that looks pretty attractive. Again, if we can completely remove all of the chemical weapons from Syria and not file a shot, I think that's something that's pretty popular, especially to a country that was at least 2-1 against military action. Now we can get something and not take military action. That looks pretty good to most people. It doesn't represent a change in posture, sure it does, but it's a change in response to an option that we hadn't heard of 3 days ago.
Coming in from the dinner table here in Phoenix, I think I would have rather have seen President Obama say that. 3 days ago, I was speaking of the paralysis in the UN Security Council. Mm-hmm. Tonight, the game has changed.
That's an opening.
Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of this, we're doing this, and yesterday we were walking this way, today we're going to walk this way. It confuses, I think, most of the nation. I don't think it helped. I think it just made people roll their eyes and say, this guy's going to go with whatever direction the wind's blowing
well,
today.
I don't know, or whatever works is another way to characterize
okay,
that.
Okay,
I'm a pragmatist. I think
Fair
Obama
enough.
Is at
Fair
his
enough.
Heart a pragmatist.
Okay.
And show me something that will work. Now, I don't know that this is going to work. I think what he has laid out, however, is a path of action where they're proposing a short timeline and verifiability and all the rest has got to happen. And it's not clear that it succeeds, but I think on this element, I think he will have the public firmly behind him because both the people who want to act said, hey, if we can get this for free, we'll take it. And the people who didn't want to act, this is not taking military action.
Let me clarify. Let me ask you this clarification. You said have the people firmly behind him on what? Define that for me.
On the pursuit of a non-military option that would have the effect of removing chemical weapons from Syria.
So, if we could, and this is what I would like to see, because I would like to walk right along with that, but I want to walk along with that non-politically.
Well, he's also
everyone to jump on board of that because I don't think we want to understand when politicians say no boots on the ground, that is meant so we as the sheeple will say, oh, no one's going to die.
Yep.
No Americans are going to die. And we, if you think about it, it's a bunch of nonsense because it's running on the assumption that we're going to lob missiles. No one's going to lob them back.
We've been promised painless wars for about 20 years now.
It didn't all work
out that way.
And that's the truth. So I think you're right in that. I think that if Obama, that might have been his intention. I wish his intentions were more clearly stated tonight internationally. Saying that we are going to walk with the international community. I know 36 hours ago I said we're going to walk without them. We're going to go ahead without them. Tonight I've changed my tune. Really wish, I think I'm speaking for the majority of the people, really wish we would have heard that tonight.
You don't think we did?
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't hear a backtrack and I've changed my mind. I don't think I heard that.
Well, I don't know they use that word, but clearly it does represent, it is at least a response to an alternative that wasn't there.
Public opinion is next right here on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Welcome back to a special edition of The Think Tank. I'm Mike Russell alongside Dr. Mike O'Neill. We're talking about tonight's address to the nation from our President Barack Obama. I have to go right to your wheelhouse. I think of no better way to end this show tonight than to go to Dr. O'Neill's wheelhouse, and that's public opinion. CNN has just released a poll. This is quick. Those guys are on the ball at CNN. I tell you that. How about these numbers? 47% after the president's speech, 47% of this country supporting military action, 50% saying no way, no day. That is almost a 180 from what we heard maybe 12 hours ago this morning, right?
It's kind of what I had guessed would be the case.
Really?
I described a few minutes ago the country as being 2-1 against, and you poo-pooed it. You said you thought it was more extreme than that.
Right.
And this is almost 50-50.
Let me ask you this.
So caution here, real big caution. The instant reaction is sometimes different from the long-term reaction.
Okay.
So I thought it was a rhetorically effective speech, and I think this number validates that. But that doesn't mean that those numbers hold up. People in 2 or 3 days may revert back to what they felt before. But at least the instant reaction, that's at least a 20% movement. You know, if we were 30-60 before, that's at least a 20% movement in his direction. And I think almost any president under almost any circumstances would be delighted with that kind of a movement.
I would agree with that. I wouldn't disagree with that. Can I be the cynic, the skeptic?
Oh, you are. Go for it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Doc. At 7:48 here local time, and that would be 9:48 East Coast time, right? Eastern Standard. The people that CNN are polling right now are those that are staying up to watch the president's speech.
Oh,
more
yes.
Politically minded.
Absolutely.
And this is your wheelhouse. These are the people that you polled. This was your whole bread and butter. Tomorrow morning, the people that said, wait, what? He had a speech? What are you talking about? Does that change this number?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not in a predictable direction.
Oh,
but
okay.
Absolutely. And your point is not cynical, it's astute. Essentially, there are a certain number of people who will watch the speech. They will react to it. Now, the vast majority of the people are not going to have watched the speech in most cases, and they're going to listen to excerpts and interpretations, and they're going to process that over a several-day period, and those numbers do not necessarily come out the same. In fact, it's hard to replicate the same number because the president had 15 minutes uninterrupted to make his case. And I've been saying all along, I think rhetorically, it was a very well-crafted speech.
Okay.
Now,
I haven't seen a lot of his speeches that weren't well-crafted, by the way. He's got a good team.
But this was different from most. I mean, most of his famous speeches were emotionally uplifting. And this wasn't that. This was like point-by-point argument, answering every objection that's out there and, at least dealing with it. Now, to impact the people who didn't see the speech, you don't have that degree of control. It goes into the spin room. It goes into discussion.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard.
The Fox team and the MSNBC team, right?
Everybody. You know, and just the way, not just the partisans, but just the people go back to their old arguments and their old beliefs and all that. It's hard to replicate that in the public's possible because it all depends on how it all plays. But actually, There's one other thing that he has as an advantage. This was how did he make the case for military action? But short term, he's not proposing military action. He's proposing the diplomatic solution. Haven't seen a question on that. But when we do, I think you're going to find overwhelming support for that.
But then
then what happens is if you play out the diplomatic option and it looks like it's being thwarted, you probably get some increment of support for military action. How big, I couldn't say, but the direction is easy to predict, not necessarily the magnitude.
America's not the world's policeman, and
what?
It is beyond our means to right every wrong. But when, with modest effort and risk, we can stop children from being gassed to death and thereby make our own children safer over the long run, I believe we should act.
That's where he went straight politician right there. It's about puppies. It's about 9/11. It's about the kids. You have to support me in this one. When we – right? When
I don't recall the word puppy.
He was talking about kitties and kissing babies and absolutely. If we could stop bad men in the world
From gassing children? Are you in favor of that?
He's killed thousands until this point.
Well,
he just gasses them. Oh, boy.
Well,
we're going to get involved.
If the standard we're killing people, we're going to be fighting a lot of wars, a lot more than we want to fight. But for the last 100 years, gas has been, if not a red line, it has been something that's been in something of a different category.
Let me ask you this. From a public polling standpoint, once again, your wheelhouse, your bread and butter. Does the president need to do that knowing that those that have done a minute amount of homework understand that Bashar al-Assad and his father, okay, have been doing this for decades? They have been fighting a civil war. They have been killing people indiscriminately.
They're a brutal, brutal outfit.
As is their opposition, by the way.
It hasn't been on a mass level, hasn't involved us, but they're a brutal, repressive
outfit. As is their opposition.
Yep.
Okay.
There's no good guys here.
Both killing at will. Okay. 1,300 people die with a gas attack. From a public opinion standpoint, do we have to keep pounding that, hoping that people won't realize that they've killed hundreds of thousands in the last 40 years, touch gas.
100,000 in the last 2 years. The magnitude of the numbers of people killed by conventional weapons has been far greater. But there always
So why bring up the children with the gas? Well, is that more selling? I'm selling you on war as a country. Or is that, hey, guys, this legitimately why we're going to war? Or is that please support my cause because I see children
the
dying?
The use of chemical or gas weapons since the end of World War One, while it has happened, it has been rare. And I think it has been a good thing for the world that has been kind of off the table. It's been considered a horrific thing because it's indiscriminate. Because you shoot a bullet, it's aimed at a target. You let out a canister of gas, it's anybody in the neighborhood.
Although, as the United States of America, we assisted a certain dictator that we later had to go fight, right?
We have done, over the last 50 years, a whole lot of stuff that we didn't want to admit to at the time.
But there's some chemical weapons involved, right?
Yep.
We're talking about Saddam Hussein against Iran.
Yep.
We supported Saddam Hussein in his use of chemical
weapons
against
Iran. He was our guy for a while.
He was our guy.
It was the old enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Okay, good.
And he was not a good guy.
Absolutely.
And it was not our finest hour.
We saw that, admit it. We heard things like pinprick strikes. Tonight he said
the United States military doesn't do pinprick.
We're America. Pinprick strikes. We're going to level the place, turn into a parking lot.
He danced a line on that one. Well, it'll be real. They're going to feel it real bad, but it'll be, you know, I forget what the word was. It'll be super targeted, I guess.
Right.
You know, he's looking for a rhetorical way of saying it'll hurt, but it won't be indiscriminate.
Public opinion, does that help him or hurt him? To me, as someone that follows the news, I think hurts him. As someone at a dinner table here in Phoenix, Arizona.
We don't want to see that our bombing is indiscriminate. We don't want to. I think it's people recognize you start bombing, there are innocents who are going to die, and we would like those to be minimal. We'd like those to be zero, but realistically say we would, you know, like that to be as small as possible.
Jobs, education, and middle class. We heard that tonight, too.
Why did
we hear about jobs, education, and the middle class?
Well, just brief. Brief.
I understand.
I understand we have domestic priorities, and those ought to take precedent. Because if he didn't say that, because that's one of the arguments.
That's not what the speech was about, though.
Right. But what it was one of a long list of, there was about 10 different arguments against action, and what rhetorically he did was to take on each one of those, each very briefly, because it was a short speech. But he acknowledged the argument on the other side. And one of the arguments against is, don't we have domestic priorities? And of course we do.
We got about a minute left. I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
In your professional opinion, you've done this your whole career. Did he help his cause? Did he hurt his cause? And most importantly, what was his cause tonight?
Well, his cause was to get support for his position. Which has changed from military action to diplomatic action with military option in reserve.
Okay.
He absolutely gained ground in that. Particularly, I think it will be very strong on the diplomatic option, getting support on the, I say he gained ground. I don't think he has a majority with him yet, but I think in terms of an instant reaction to any speech, I think the case he made was at least momentarily persuasive to a lot of people. I'm not sure that will hold over a few days.
Right. I think we see 24. We see these numbers here: 47% for CNN poll, 50% against. I think we're going to see that change dramatically, probably within the next 48 hours. Do you agree?
I think we'll start to see an evolution dramatically. I don't know. For that, you have to wait. You know, was it instant or was it? That's why you have to go back and
keep it right here to KTAR. We are going to keep you posted throughout the week as the advancements, as everything unfolds with this debacle in Syria. Thanks for tuning in to Think Tank News Talk 92.3 KTAR.